Welcome to Must Do's and Hidden Gems, presented by Visit St. Pete Clearwater and the Tampa Bay Times, where you'll learn from the locals how to make the most out of your visit to St. Pete Clearwater, or as we like to call it, paradise. I'm your host, Carrie O'Reilly, with the Tampa Bay Times. This episode is all about exploration and discovery. We'll start at the Florida Botanical Gardens, where you can explore acres of lush gardens and discover a peaceful oasis to reset and reconnect. From there, we'll head just down the road to some of our famous beaches to discover family fun, great places to eat, and end our show on a rooftop bar in search of the elusive Green Flash. In 1513, Spanish explorer Ponce de León is credited with discovering Florida. According to legend, he was searching for the Fountain of Youth. Well, he must not have found it, otherwise I would be interviewing him on the show today. However, he did find an abundance of wildflowers, which is why he named the land La Florida, or Flowery Land. Today I'm here at the Florida Botanical Gardens, located just 5 minutes from Indian Rocks Beach. With me is Mia McCormick, the Executive Director, here to tell us about the gardens and why you need to check them out. Mia, welcome to the show. Tell us about the Florida Botanical Gardens and what makes them so special.
Carrie, thank you so much for having me on the show. And the thing that makes this botanical gardens super special, different from every other one in this state, is that it's free.
Wow.
Let me say that again. It's free, which means it's accessible to anyone all of the time. We're open from 7 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, and at any time you can come by and take a break from the world, reconnect with nature, whether it's maybe a few minutes that you have, or if you want to pack the family up, bring a picnic, and spend the whole day here. So that's the very first thing that's special about us. The second is that we have the Majeed Discovery Garden. This is a children's garden designed specifically to engage children and to encourage them to be curious, to explore, to touch things. When you're talking about explorers, that's what we want. We want to bring explorers here to our children's garden and to the gardens in general and see what we have to offer.
Walk us through some of the different gardens that you have here on the property and explain how big the gardens are, because some people might picture a garden as maybe an acre or two, but it's much more than that.
There is a lot to see here, about 110 acres of gardens to go through.
Wow.
And over 24 different specific areas where we talk about herbs in the herb garden. We have the native garden where you can see some native plants. We have a rose garden, a jazz garden, a cactus and succulent garden, a tropical garden. There's too many to name, but that's what the exploration is about. There are pamphlets in most different gardens that explain the different palms that you'll see in the palm garden, things like that. So we encourage people to explore on their own about 24 different areas.
My parents came here not long ago, and they loved it. And one of the things they liked about it was there are places to sit. If you want to just rest for a minute, there's plenty of shade. Is it a great place for different generations to come and enjoy?
Absolutely. Our paths are wheelchair accessible, so you can bring anyone, whether it's a motor scooter or a wheelchair, or even if you have trouble walking, maybe you use a cane, all the way down to the scampering children that run all over the place, everyone can come here and enjoy this space. That's what makes it such a community gem, is that no matter what age you are or what generation you are, you can find something to connect to here.
Let's talk about animals. Can you bring your animal, and what types of animals, birds, other species might you see here in the gardens?
You absolutely can bring your animals, dogs on a leash.
Okay.
And the reason why is there are definitely our Florida native species here in this park, like alligators, of all sizes. Sometimes it's just a baby hanging out on a bank. Sometimes it's a big one splashing through the water after a fish or a big bird. So I've actually seen an alligator jump out of the water here, the way you might see a dolphin jump out of the water after something.
Wow.
So alligators and reptiles, turtles, fish, all kinds of birds, from your wading birds to your songbirds to your birds of prey to ducklings, you'll see them all here. But also some of the tiniest creatures, like bees and butterflies, are guaranteed. We have a beautiful butterfly garden, and it's a place where you walk through blooms of all different colors, and you'll see swallowtails, you'll see viscerae, you'll see cloudless sulfurs, you'll see all kinds of butterflies in that area.
When we were touring the gardens earlier today, you took me through the vine garden and explained all the different blooms throughout the year. Explain some of the seasonal blooms that we might experience when we come back throughout the year.
What's nice about this garden is that every time you walk through it, you'll see something different. First of all, it's pretty big, so there's a lot to see. But different areas are in bloom at different times of the year. One day you might walk through our tropical garden and see frangipani or plumeria, or a sacred lotus, or tropical hydrangea. And then another day you'll go through the vinery and you might see a rubber vine or an Indian clock vine in bloom. Every time you come, there's something different to see. I stroll these gardens every morning. It's a wonderful way to start the day. And I run into photographers all the time and I ask them, how can you keep coming back to the same place? And they say because there's something different to see every day.
You mentioned the sensory garden. Will you talk about that a little bit more and some of the musical instruments that are throughout the gardens that people can play?
Yes, yes. There are different places to discover, especially in our children's discovery garden. You will find xylophones, you'll find cajun drums, different instruments. I don't want to give them all away because I want the children to come and explore for themselves those musical instruments. And then there's an area where you're encouraged to touch some of the softest plants and smell some of the most savory things, smells that you might recognize from your own kitchen. So we are encouraging all kinds of sensory exploration in our discovery garden.
That's beautiful. The park is absolutely gorgeous throughout the year. Explain what happens here during the holidays and how amazing it is.
So one of the roles of the Florida Botanical Gardens Foundation as a nonprofit is to bring amazing events, classes, workshops, education, opportunities to explore to this garden. And our biggest event is the holiday lights in the garden. This is where the entire garden gets decorated in lights from root to tip. It is the premier holiday event in Pinellas County. It is 30 days and about 60,000 people come through that time period. So if you haven't been, you are missing something beautiful and gorgeous. Please come out. But that's just one of the events that we do. It's our biggest fundraiser as a nonprofit. But then we also do Pumpkin Fest, where you can come carve pumpkins and we engage with partners within the community. And we also hold classes and workshops every month. So maybe wellness is your thing. Come to one of our sound meditations or our yoga classes. Maybe you have a hobby like photography. Or we do presentations and talks with the master gardeners here about educating people about different plants and things in Florida, like salt-tolerant plants or rain gardens.
Mia, if you only have half an hour to spend here at the gardens, what would you recommend to someone to be sure and see while they're here?
100%, you have to stroll through the butterfly garden because that will immediately lift your spirits. There is no way you can still be stressed out or angry about anything when you're looking at butterflies. It doesn't happen. Definitely stroll through our tropical fruit garden and our children's garden. These are two areas where you are going to discover smells and sights that you may not see every day. And lastly, the tropical garden. You can't miss the tropical garden just because there's so many beautiful blooms there.
A lot of us, when we vacation, particularly with kids, want to expose our families and our kids to something educational that's also fun. The garden seemed like a great place to reinforce sustainability. Is that something that's a conscious plan as you develop programming for the gardens?
With our programming and our signage, we really look to develop stewardship of the land, especially in our younger generations. That's why when children come through, they can see our giant water keep, but they also can read about what a water keep or a rain barrel does, why water conservation is important, especially in Florida in the dry season. We're looking to develop stewards. So we have a full-time educator on staff that has different programs throughout the week, and she does field trips also. also with Pinellas County Schools and expanding into Hillsborough and Pasco County, will children get that hands-on learning experience, and they learn how to be good stewards of the environment.
Mia, is there anything about the gardens or the area that I haven't asked you that you'd like to be sure that visitors to our area are aware of?
Yes. The gardens is part of several hundred acres altogether called Pinewood Cultural Park. And within that, not only do you have this botanical oasis, but just a short stroll away, you have Creative Pinellas with a free art gallery that you can take the little ones to explore. And then just beyond that, you have Heritage Village, an old Florida homestead with some of the most important and oldest buildings in the county, and also a working blacksmith. So it's a big circle here. The park is a big circle. And so you can spend an entire day here with a family exploring, and it's all free.
I love it. Mia, thank you so much for your time. This has been fascinating. Thank you for what you do for our community and for maintaining these beautiful gardens.
Thank you for having me.
Let's continue our theme of exploration and discovery and head just a few miles west of the gardens to Indian Rocks Beach and Indian Shores. These beaches were named after the natives who discovered either the healing powers of the rocks, great fishing, or both. No one's quite sure, but one thing is certain. The sun and sand here have healed a lot of weary souls over the years, and the fish are always jumping. Along with the fish, kids are always jumping into the pools and slipping down the 42-foot-high water slide at Splash Harbor Water Park, located at the Holiday Inn and Suites Harborside. Parents, on the other hand, can bob along a lazy river safely outside the splash zone. Indian Rocks is also the home of some colorful characters. While you're in the neighborhood, stop by and say hello to Owl Pacino, Secret Agent Paco, Meatball, Bacardi, Calypso, and over 100 other wonderful winged creatures at the Seaside Seabird Sanctuary. Here, you can meet permanently disabled birds including pelicans, cormorants, oyster catchers, and more for free. By now, you've probably worked up an appetite. Before you get hangry, get crabby at the original Crabby Bill's Restaurant, family-owned and operated since 1983. With indoor and outdoor dining options, Crabby Bill's at Indian Rocks is the home for fresh, no-frills seafood, live music, plus a wide selection of crafts, drafts, and cocktails. Ready to relax? Head over to Reddington Shores, North Reddington Beach, or Reddington Beach, where you'll find 2.5 miles of uninterrupted shoreline through peaceful beach communities. Don't want to track sand into the rental car or condo? No problem. The Reddington Shores Beach Access has showers and restrooms. Just south of the Reddingtons is Madeira Beach, another 2.5 mile stretch of continuous sand and surf. It's also the home of John's Pass Village and Boardwalk, where old Florida charm meets new Florida fun. A fixture of John's Pass is Hubbard's Marina, where you can hop on a dolphin cruise, go below the surface on a snorkeling tour, or join a chartered fishing trip and reel in your dinner. Coming up in part two of our show, we'll meet Dylan Hubbard of Hubbard's Marina. He and his family have been putting people on fish since 1928. Dylan will give us tips on fishing in the area, hiring a guide, and much more. But first, let's talk about reeling in a deal. Go to Visit St. Pete Clearwater's website at visitspc.com and get hooked up with the Funshine Savings Passport. It's absolutely free and is a great way to enjoy dozens of things to do in the area, from museums to dining, and save some money while you're doing it. Go to visitspc.com for more details. And now it's my pleasure to welcome Dylan Hubbard to the show. Dylan is the fourth generation to lead Hubbard's Marina and was practically born on the back of a fishing boat. He is an expert on what fish are running, how you can hook them, and have fun doing it. Dylan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So, Dylan, would you start by telling us about Hubbard's Marina and the fishing trips you offer?
Yeah. Hubbard's Marina does a ton of different things besides fishing, but we're most notably known for our fishing trips. We do party boat trips and private charter style trips as well. So you could do a public trip where it's a 5, 10, 12, 39, or 44-hour trip. Our 5 and 10-hour trips are kind of fun for the whole family, and our 12, 39, and 44-hour trips are more experienced angler-style trips. These are on big, large, stable, safe, fun, big party boats or head boats, where it's just you and your group and a few other groups enjoying some time out there on the water. But we also have the private charter options too, which is fully customizable, just you and your group on a private boat with a private captain and crew, a lot more one-on-one time, a little bit more customizable, and we can kind of go out there and do what you want to do. So we do a little bit of everything for a little bit of everyone, and we've been at it for nearly 100 years and four family generations, and we started from rowboats, and now we're here. So it's been a long run, and very blessed to continue to do what we love.
Can you describe the difference and maybe the pros and cons between offshore fishing or deep sea fishing and flats or inshore fishing?
Yeah, so we're most notably known for our nearshore and offshore fishing. We do have an inshore component because we work with partners around the area. We're kind of the concierge of the water, so you can call us and book any kind of experience you would like. But inshore fishing is more in the back protected bay waters, smaller boats. Normally it's a group of four or less. You can find some inshore guides that'll take five or six people, but most of them are four or less, smaller boats, shallower water, a little bit more quiet, and you're targeting snook, redfish, trout, flounder, mackerel, sheep's head, mangrove snapper, and it's a lot of fun. You can catch some really big fish, but it's shallower water, lighter poles, you're doing a lot of casting. Whereas our style of fishing, nearshore and offshore, we're going out there off the coast, headed west into the Gulf, and we're dropping down and fishing for those bottom reef fish, grouper, snapper, a variety of different species. You never know what's going to come up. And we do a little bit of trolling as well, but it's a different experience because you're getting out there a little deeper, a little further. And nearshore and offshore fishing is a lot of fun in my mind because you're getting away from the coastline, getting out of cell reception and escaping, if you will, for a day to the great blue sea. So it's a lot of fun and a unique experience.
So if you're a flatlander and maybe you're worried about getting seasick, is that a concern? And if so, how can I try to avoid it?
Yeah, I mean, you can easily avoid it by being prepared, right? So there's things out there like Dramamine or Bonine, which are the two most popular kind of seasickness medications, and you take them beforehand. You want them in your bloodstream. A lot of people make the mistake of, oh, let me pick it up and take it right before I get on the boat. And that doesn't work as well as if it's already in your bloodstream. So starting the day before your trip, getting some half doses in you, getting it going into your bloodstream, and then taking it before the trip, an hour before you get on board. And then if the trip's greater than 6 hours, you take it every 6 hours while on the boat as well. But it is kind of a weak muscle relaxer, so you have to be careful. If you're taking a lot, it can kind of make you dreary, drowsy, and end up sleeping through most of the trip instead of enjoying it. So that's one option. The other option is there's so many great days in Florida, and you can use our website. We have a weather links page on our website. If you go to hubbardsmarina.com and click fishing trips, the second option down is weather links. And those are the marine weather forecasts we use to check the weather, because a lot of terrestrial weather services, the Fox 13s of the world, the local regional news is, they cover weather, but it's weather based on land, and it's not helpful if you're heading offshore, nearshore fishing. So looking at those marine forecasts give you an idea of what the weather's doing, and you can always reschedule if you know it's going to be bumpy. And we try to do the best we can to be as upfront and honest and transparent with people as we can be, because we guarantee an excellent client experience with superior guest service, but we can't control the weather and we can't make fish bite. All we can do is be as upfront, honest, and transparent as we can be to let people know what they're getting themselves into. So we try to give people a heads up if we know it's going to be a little bumpy. But for the most part, the summertime is really calm and hot, but generally nice out there. The fall and winter, we get those cold fronts. So you want to try to time your trips between the fronts. I always tell folks to plan your trips early in your vacation, because if for some reason you do get a cold front, you have the opportunity to reschedule before you leave town or before you have to go back to work. So those cold fronts can mess up the weather for a few days, but it is so nice. And the fishing is really good that time of year, because the fish don't bite well during those cold front periods. Those low pressures really shut down the fish, but they bite really well in between the fronts. But you have to time your trips around the fronts in order to get the good weather and get the good fishing.
Sounds great. How far in advance should I plan to book my trip? And maybe I get here and I decide, fishing sounds great. Can I just drop into Hubbard's Marina and hop on a boat?
Yeah, so it depends. Our longer range trips, like our 39 and 44 hour trips, we'll have guests book those 6, 8, 10, 12 months in advance. our half-day trips, like the five-hour trips, they run daily, and it's more tourists, more families. It's more of a beginning-level angler's trip, and they're very last minute. You can show up for any trip. No reservation required on any of our trips, but we always recommend reservations at least a day or two in advance, so that way we can know how many people are going, and we can contact you if the weather is going to be a little adverse. We can give you a heads up. If for some reason we have to cancel due to weather, we can contact you, because we don't want guests to show up for a canceled trip. That just doesn't make anybody happy. So having contact information can prevent that. So reservations are recommended but not required. And then it's always a good idea. People sometimes have to plan in advance, right? We just talked about how the weather can be a little fickle and you want to try to time your trips around the weather, but that doesn't preclude you from booking a month, 2 months, 3 months in advance for an upcoming vacation. And then as you get closer, within a week of that trip, you can start monitoring the weather. And if you see the weather is a little better on this day or a little better on that day, you can always call us and reschedule.
Okay, so we're planning a trip. I'm bringing my family. What do you recommend for preparation? What should I bring? And maybe I've got some tackle at home, wherever state I'm coming from. Should I bring that or just pick up new stuff here?
I mean, everything is a little bit fluid, right? Because each trip's a little different. It depends on what you have booked and what length of trip you have booked, because obviously packing requirements for a five-hour trip are a lot different than packing requirements for a 12-hour extreme or a 12-hour night or a 39-hour trip. So our website does a really good job of kind of giving you an idea of what to expect with videos. And then also we have a frequently asked questions page that helps. But the website pages, I constantly get yelled at all the time by our web team because I try to put too much information there. The goal is to try to set expectations, but also make sure people know what they're getting themselves into. Because if you're well informed, then it seems to help temper a lot of those problems. But your first trip always has a steeper learning curve, right? First time you go offshore fishing, you're going to learn some things about what you need to bring or what you don't need to bring, and you can dial it in. So you can lower that learning curve by watching some of our videos on our website, by reading some of the information on our website. And then we also do a radio show each week where we talk about what's going on, what's coming up. We talk about the weather. We also do a Fox 13 news segment where we talk about what's going on, what's coming up, and about the weather. So we try to do as much as we can through our social media, through our YouTube, through our Facebook, through our Instagram, to try to let people know what is going on, what the weather's doing, how to plan your trip for the best possible experience, and then what to bring and be prepared for. As far as tackle goes, it really varies based on the trip. Most of what you have back home is going to be freshwater gear, so it's going to be a little softer, a little bit underpowered for some of our bigger fish. For the 5 and 10 hour trip, sometimes your stuff from back home might work well, and maybe you're not from freshwater areas. Maybe you're a northeast angler and you fish for sea bass and rockfish or the striped bass, so maybe you do have some gear that works. So watching our videos and reading our website can kind of clue you into what works and doesn't work. And then we also tell people to just bring your rods down. You can always bring your rods down the morning of the trip. We can check them out, show you what tackle in the shop you might need, and can fill in the gaps or choose, hey, maybe my stuff doesn't work, and choose to rent a rod last minute. Because we do provide the option to rent a rod on all our party boat trips, where we provide the rod, reel, and all your tackle. Or you can bring your own. On the private charters, we fully furnish all that stuff included in the private charter price. So it's kind of up to you.
What about food, beverages, sunscreen? I would imagine that would be a good thing to be prepared with.
Yeah. It's always a good idea to kind of wear layers. Closed-toed shoes are always a good recommendation. Layered clothing is a good idea because it's always a little cooler on the water. You want to dress for the water temperature, not the air temperature. And then be prepared to take layers off if needed through the day. It warms up fast. Even in the wintertime here in Florida, it might be chilly in the morning, but then hot by midday. So it's always a good idea to be prepared and have it, not need it, right? And that goes back to what I said earlier, that learning curve, because sometimes you can overpack, and then the next trip you're like, hey, maybe I didn't need that. But sunscreen's always a good idea. We do carry that in our shop. Our shop is kind of set up in our ticket office to be that, oh, I forgot this type store. So we have a lot of the stuff that you might need to get out there on the boat. So if you're coming in from out of town, you could show up with nothing, and we'll make it work for you, and we'll get you set up. But as far as food and drink are concerned, on our party boat trips, we do have a full galley, so we provide hot cooked-to-order food while on the boat, and it's the best egg sandwich and cheeseburger that you'll get for miles, guaranteed. It's a lot of fun, and We do have tons of amenities on those big party boats, air-conditioned cabins, and that full galley really makes life easy. So you can bring your own food and drink, or you can buy food and drink a la carte from the galley, or you could get a meal package where we furnish everything.
That sounds great. And we're here now at the Friendly Fisherman, which is right next door to Hubbard's Marina. I understand that if you catch something and you want to have it cooked, can you bring it here to the Friendly Fisherman?
Yeah, the Friendly Fisherman offers to cook up all the fish that we catch during our trip. So you can come out fishing with us and catch some fresh fish and bring them right next door and get them cooked up. And there's no better way to end the day. I always tell people, if you're staying in a hotel, you don't have a way to cook up your fresh fish, or if you're like me and you don't feel like messing with your fish after a long day on the water, you can always walk next door to the Friendly Fisherman, enjoy the waterfront deck or the air-conditioned dining room, and get your fish cooked up. I like Cajun fried, but they also offer to broil, blacken, and regular fry your fish too. So there's multiple ways you can get them prepared, and it's a good capstone to a great day on the water.
That sounds fantastic. Now, say I was really successful on the water and I want to ship some fish home. Can you do that?
Yeah, you can ship fish back home, but that's really expensive. I always try to encourage guests to avoid that. The cheapest thing to do is to have your fish vacuum sealed down at Don's Dock, where we have our seafood market. If you're too busy to go fishing, you're just too darn busy. But if you are too busy to go fishing, you can always stop down to our seafood market and get your fresh seafood today. And then if you're on a trip with us and you caught your own fresh seafood, you can stop down to the seafood market and they'll offer to vacuum seal it for you. Once it's vacuum sealed, you can take it back to your hotel room. And even the minimalist hotels most of the time offer a small fridge and freezer. And once your fish is frozen, then you can put them in a soft-sided cooler and take them as a carry-on on the plane, or put them in your car and drive them home that way. Because shipping fish, like, cheap if you live in a major city is $200-$250 a lot of times, because you have to overnight it.
Okay.
And it's airfare, and it's hopefully you have a lot of weight, right? Hopefully you caught a lot of fish. So it's very expensive to ship fish, whereas if you just put it in a soft-sided cooler, you can bring it through TSA as a carry-on, and it makes it a lot cheaper just paying for an extra bag, which is only $40, $45, $50 instead of $250.
There's one food item that you do not allow on your boats. Talk about that.
Yeah, bananas. No bananas allowed on the boats. It's kind of a joke to us, but some people take it really serious. And we actually have a website, whyarebananasbadluck.com, because we get that question so much. And again, it's a joke to us, but there's a lot of superstitions that support no bananas and bananas being bad luck on the boat. So because of those superstitions, it's easier to just say no bananas, because some people do take it serious and we don't want those people to be upset. And I've literally seen fist fights over bananas before. It's pretty silly. So it's easier to just say no bananas.
Oh, I love it. You mentioned some of the other tours you have. Maybe you're not into fishing, but you want to get out on the water. What other ways can I experience the water through Hubbard's Marina?
We have it all, man. If you can dream it, we can do it. But we are most notably known for our dolphin tours, our eco tours, our sunset cruises, our shelling trips, our island trips, our snorkeling trips. We have a variety of different options to Shell Key, Egmont Key. We do that dolphin watching nature cruise and eco tour. It's fully narrated. We tell you about the area, the local wildlife. We take you by the million-dollar homes, the bird nesting islands, a commercial fishing village. We guarantee dolphins, so you get a free trip to try it again. And we've actually been offering dolphin entertainment cruises since the rowboat days. So we've been doing a really long time, and that's why we were able to actually originate that dolphin guarantee in this region, because we know where these dolphins are, we know their historical patterns, and we know where they're going to be.
Dylan, explain what it means to you to be a fourth generation business owner in this area and the importance of that legacy.
It's hugely important. It weighs on me every day. It's a legacy, like you said, and it's a lot about the community. I mean, we wouldn't be here today without our Hubbard's Marina family of staff, captains, crews who make this possible, and the community that surrounds us and supports us. So very blessed to be in Johns Pass, the number one tourist destination in the county, in my opinion, and definitely blessed to be along this beautiful boardwalk where there's so much to do, see, and enjoy. And it's a really cool thing to be able to continue on our family's legacy. And it's also a lot of responsibility to continue and to grow that and to expand upon that and innovate upon that. And that's how we've stood the test of time, is our amazing team, our amazing people, and our amazing community, and then our never-ending work ethic to continue to innovate and bring new offerings, better offerings, and to continue to improve our services.
There's something that has been described as the green flash, a burst of color that happens right when the sun slips over the horizon on the water. Have you ever seen it? And is there a recommendation you have for somebody like me who has not catch it?
Go on a lot of sunset cruises where we offer free beer and wine, and you'll see a green flash over time. Trust me. My father has seen it, or as I should say, claimed to have seen it. I've been through quite a few sunsets, haven't personally witnessed it myself. I thought I've seen it before, but it's one of those things. It's been witnessed, and I think I personally believe it's a real thing, but it's got to be the right atmospheric conditions. It's kind of a rarity, so it's once in a blue moon type thing. But, I mean, we see that all the time out there on the water. We've seen orcas. We've seen right whales. We've seen leatherback turtles. We've seen a lot of really cool things out there, pilot whales, a variety of different whales, sharks, whale sharks. We've seen some really cool things while out there on the water. So you just never know what you're going to see, and every day is a new day. So get out there on the water and enjoy some fun in the sun.
This has been great, Dylan. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about Hubbard's Marina or John's Pass or the area or fishing that you want to make sure people are aware of?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I would say is John's Pass has so much cool things going on. So you can come down and do a dolphin cruise with us. We offer $7 all-day parking when you're on a trip with us. So that is a deeply discounted parking rate for John's Pass. And being a tourist destination and being so popular, sometimes parking rates can get a little out of control. So it's nice to be able to get that discounted parking. So you can go on a cruise or a tour or a fishing trip and then continue to explore John's Pass, because there are so many great restaurants. There's so many great bars, shops. There's so much to do and see. And we've seen it countless times where the family comes down to John's Pass for the day, and maybe mom, dad, brother goes fishing while sisters stay back and shop and enjoy the pass and eat breakfast along the boardwalk, shop, hang out, maybe hit a bar or a restaurant, and then the boat comes back in. You can go get your fish cooked up at the Friendly Fisherman and then enjoy some live music and then walk over and see the sunset. So you can really spend the whole day here and enjoy all the great things that John's Pass has to offer. And there's so many great hotels around the area that you can stay and enjoy, and it's really worth making a day or two trip out here and visiting St. Pete Clearwater, because we have so much going on.
Dylan, you've been doing this for a long time, and I'm sure you tell people there are no dumb questions, but are there some ridiculous questions that you've heard over the years?
Yeah, there's no dumb questions. It's only dumb not to ask, is my saying that I always use. But sometimes there are some questions that make you go hum. And my favorite that I have gotten quite often is, how many sunset cruises do you offer a day? That always gives me a good chuckle. Or, hey, I'm on the 8 o'clock, 5-hour half day. What time does that boat leave? That's always a good one. And just assorted things like that. But I always encourage my staff, hey, people are on vacation. People are off work. They've shut their brain off. They're going out to enjoy a beautiful day on the water. So it's no surprise to me that sometimes you get questions that make you do a double take, because it is a time to relax and a time to cool off and a time to kind of shut the brain off a little bit, be an autopilot. So I'm not surprised that sometimes we get some questions that make your eyes squint a little bit. But yes, there's been quite a few.
I'm sure you handle them well. Dylan, thank you so much for all you do for our community and for people coming to enjoy our area. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you as well. Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure. We are here at the Cambria Hotel at Madeira Beach and the rooftop bar, and it is absolutely gorgeous. The sun is about to set. They've got an infinity pool here on the rooftop. They've got a great restaurant. My wife and daughter and I have eaten here a couple of times, a great bar. And I am here with our audio engineer, Dave, and we're both enjoying a couple of adult beverages. Say hello, Dave.
Hi, Carrie.
We are going to see if we can spot the green flash. Dave, you have lived in this area your whole life. Have you ever seen the green flash?
No, I haven't. I've brought visitors out to the beaches several times, and we've all looked for it, but so far, no flash.
Do you believe in the green flash?
Yes, I think it can happen. I just haven't seen it.
You know, you got to believe in something these days, right? I believe in it too, even though I've never seen it, but I'm willing to keep trying. So we are seconds away, just like New Year's Rockin' Eve. The countdown is starting. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Did you see it?
Not this time.
Oh, me neither. Well, we're going to keep trying. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another episode of Must Do's and Hidden Gems. We hope to see you here in St. Pete Clearwater soon, chasing the green flash. The best of St. Pete Clearwater doesn't stop here. Get your free copy of Gulf to Bay magazine today. Go to visitspc.com for more details. Must Do's and Hidden Gems is produced by Visit St. Pete Clearwater and Times Total Media, the sales and marketing division of the Tampa Bay Times. Recording by Dave Morrison. Editing by Dan Canaro. Executive producers, Katie Bridges, Eddie Kirsch, and Steve Grimes.